Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is Mama Seven, and we have made it to Wednesday. Yay! I say yay because it's always a feat to get here. This is, I think, our first Wednesday after the fast, or completely after the fast. Yeah. So all of the good hard work that everybody put into their fast, I want to say congratulations again. I want to say, and I hope everybody can understand this, that the work doesn't end. We should still be riding some of that high. We should still have our fast buddy close at hand. And we should all be getting ready for the wonderful water ritual. Last year, we had 41 people. That, my dears, is amazing. 41 people coming out to say, hey, look, I want to dedicate myself. I want to be stronger in my connection and in my knowledge of God. I want to work harder to be closer. That's what we did last year. This year promises to be just as wonderful, if not more. And the reason why I say more is because we're always finding new ways to make beautiful, positive things happen. And so, you know, each year God sees our growth and rewards our growth, and I just feel so blessed to be a part of it. So all of that is happening this Saturday in Beaufort, South Carolina. It is such a blessing, and for all those that get the opportunity to come, all those that are bringing people, I think everyone that's coming is bringing someone. What a blessing. How about sharing the blessing? That is such a, I mean, I can't think of a better gift that you can give someone. I can't think of a more considerate, caring thing that you can do than to invite somebody on your spiritual journey, giving them the opportunity to say, hey, look, this is what I'm thinking about. This is what I'm doing. Come share in this. Come walk with me, you know? So it has been a journey, and it continues to be a journey. You know, summer and spring, we really rev up. We have so much positive things going on that I get excited. I get so excited. So between water ritual, workshops, retreats coming up, it's a lot. It's a bit much. And it's all in the positive. It's all for our good. It's all for our benefit. And I know all we have to do is keep working at it, and we get the things that we need. They come to us. It's really all you have to do is open yourself up to the process, open yourself up to God, open yourself up to love, open yourself up to all of those positive things that are going to help you be a better person. And what's better than that? Okay? So that is our Wednesday. We do this every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. We welcome and encourage our new listeners. If you'd like to join in the conversation, all you have to do is press 1. That lets us know, hey, I'd like to join in. I'd like to be a part of, and we always love that. Our new listeners always, you know, they're just kind of different. They give us the opportunity to ask some questions we may not have asked or may have forgotten along the way. But, you know, I love the opportunity to really build and grow with others. And, you know, it's always a blessing for me. It's always a blessing. And, you know, I tell all the great teachers will say, you know, if you're not learning while you're teaching, you're not doing it right. And I believe that. I believe that it's our responsibility to say, all right, we have to keep pushing, have to keep working. Last Wednesday, we spoke on celebrating you. And I'm a big, I don't want to say I'm a big celebration person, but I know we don't celebrate ourselves enough. We don't stop and take the time to say, hey, good job. You know, usually by the time we're finished with one job, the next job is already waiting for us. You know, we have so many other things going on. And I'm like, look, we need a second. We need to be able to think, to breathe, to do anything that we need to do for just a moment. Celebrate where you are. And it was a great show. One of the things that came out during the show, and something I say all the time, is that if we're not taking the time to celebrate ourselves, especially after hard work, why would anybody else do it? Why are you expecting your kids? Think about your children. You know, when I want to get that understanding of God, I think about the children. Why would our children follow us down this path of enlightenment, of spirituality, of commitment to God? Why would our children do that if there wasn't a reward at the end? If they couldn't see a blessing in the end? They have to be able to see good, positive things occurring, because if they don't, they're not going to want to be involved. That's just kind of plain and simple. I know I wouldn't want to be involved. If I didn't know for a fact that I was on the winning team, I believe good always wins, period. I've seen good come from the back, come from, you know, the behind, and just wake up to win. So I know I'm on a winning team. So I see the rewards as they come, blah, blah, blah. But imagine as a child in a very young, naive way of thinking, if there is no benefit, why would they do this? So we have to be okay with allowing our young people to really, really see us. We have to be okay with allowing ourselves to see us and getting that good balance in when we know we need to slow down, we need to celebrate, we need to possibly delegate. That's my big thing. Lord have mercy. If I could just get the delegation part right, I'd be straight. But we have got to really start to allow ourselves, celebrate the small moments. Celebrate the blessings as they are ever present. And then we'll be able to see it grow and build from there. Got to start somewhere, though, okay? So, you know, for all of those that worked hard on their fast, celebrate yourself. I hope you bought yourself something fun. I hope you went somewhere wonderful. I hope that you, you know, got a big thumbs up from all those that we've been working beside and close to. And come on, we have to celebrate ourselves. When we get to this water this weekend in just a couple of days, Buford, a beautiful place, lots of rich history, lots of rich history in spirituality. So when we get there, and we are following the footsteps, not just that we have made, but that many have made over the decades. When we go to this ocean that has been with us since the beginning of time and has been used for cleansing, when we start to put those things in place, oh, the beauty, blessings, the clarifications, the knowledge, so everything that you're looking for, you're going to find. Along with the white that everyone should be having on come Saturday, along with the offerings that we always bring when we gather, especially when we're coming to do big spiritual work like this, along with those things, I really want everyone to come with something that they want, okay? Let's start to think about exchanges. Let's start to think about giving and receiving, okay? As you come to the water to shed off that old stuff, you know, and we were just here last year. Last year, we were in this water for 5 hours. Lord have mercy. We were just here. But guess what? You brush your teeth more than once. We have to get cleansed more than once, okay? It may take twice. It may take three times. It may just take as long as you're here existing on this plane of understanding. It may take that long, and it's okay. It is perfectly okay. The less spend the time working on, building, encouraging, growing, let's spend this time at the water really, really releasing what we don't need. And I say, when I say release it, I mean I need your hands up, 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 fingers open. Release it. All right? And there should be something that you want. When I walked into my fast, I was very, very clear what I wanted. And it was a struggle all 30 days. I was like, oh, my goodness. Am I going to have to fight all 30 of the days? All 30? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And there was a day or two where I had to call for some support and been like, hey, I don't know how this is going to be. I don't know how this is going to end because I'm feeling real iffy right here. And so get your support. It's fine. But when you turn around and look at all that you've done, I didn't even really physically know how I was going to accomplish everything that I accomplished. I didn't know. I had no idea where to start. I just took it day by day, hour by hour on some days, and it worked out. And it seemed as the more I sacrificed, the harder I worked, the more it worked itself out, the less I really had to worry about. And I'm thankful to God for that because I know God is the source in which all blessings flow. God is not the author of confusion. So whatever confusion you had, all the shoulda, woulda, coulda, please let that go Saturday. All the things that made you feel less than, please let that go Saturday. All those relationships that you had to step away from because enough is enough. You just got to step away. Please let that go. Don't carry it anymore. You don't know what blessings you could be hindering by holding on to what is not serving you. You got to be willing to let it go. And that comes from trusting God. Okay? Trust is fragile. Yes, family, I said it. Trust is fragile. It's easy to break. It can be difficult to build back up. Okay? It's all right for it to be fragile. It's okay if you're not trusting right now. You know, everyone starts somewhere. And your somewhere might be right here. It's okay. But don't be afraid to say, I want to take some steps. I want to put some things in place. I want to know how I can make this work in the positive. Okay? Family, I tell you, what I have seen and what I know and the miracles I have seen God perform, I don't put anything past him. I don't doubt, not in the least bit. I have full faith in God. To the point I don't worry about things that could be worryful or worrisome. I go straight to God. Everything I do has a God basis, okay? So I don't fight with my hands. I call God, and God will instruct me either to sit down, or either whatever else I'm supposed to do. But I myself don't worry about it. I feel no sort of way about calling on something bigger than me. I have no problems with that because I know that I'm loved by God. And that love is what carries me. Amen. The love carries me. So that's where that is, okay? Come to the water. Come with. I want to say a hope and a prayer, but, you know, come with that prayer, the thing that you want, the thing that you're ready to focus on, what you're ready to receive, what you have moved out of the fear zone. Family, do not let – I'm not afraid of nothing, nothing, nothing. Anything you do out of fear is done the wrong way for the wrong reason. You will not get the right results. You cannot do anything out of fear. I'm telling you, you cannot. Fear is the worst motivator of all. Fear, well, if you're really scared, it'll motivate you and you'll run out of steam. You will run out of steam. Fear, you're doing the right, you may be doing the right thing, but for the wrong reason. Fear ain't no reason to do anything. Trust God. Trust God a little so you can trust God a lot later, okay? So, spiritual do's and don'ts. This is a great topic. It came up, one of our angels brought it up and said, hey, look, I would love to do another spiritual do's and don'ts. Protocol. And I get it, and it's wonderful to talk about because sometimes people, they make it harder than really what it is. But, you know, this is a great time and opportunity to talk about and ask questions and find out, okay, well, what exactly am I supposed to be doing? Or what should I not be doing? You know, so when it came up, I was like, yeah, I get it. It's a great topic. It's a great time for it. We can do this. So I want to make sure to open up the phone lines because I want to be able to answer any and all questions that come up. I feel so grateful that I have my team with me. And so whether you want to call and ask a question or whether you would like to answer a question, all you have to do is press 1, and that lets me know on the switchboard that you would like to speak. And we're going to get into some spiritual do's and don'ts. And this is the kind of show where there is no silly question. If you know Mama 7, you know there's no silly questions anyways. I love questions. I love helping people understand kind of what we're doing and why. And so there's nothing wrong with asking questions. How else are you going to know? Spirituality has so many ebbs and flows. You know, we do here, we don't there, we never this, we always that. You know, and it varies per geographic location. Each house is different, everything. So, you know, it never hurts to ask the question. So that's what we're going to do today. Ask questions, get answers. And I'm going to share with you what I know from the years of being in and out of different spiritual houses. And when I say in and out, I don't mean in a commit, not commit. My family is very spiritually known as a spiritual household. My mother's really second generation. I'm third generation. And my children are fourth generation. But that's just generation as far as recognized. You know, our kinfolk, mine, yours, all of them, this was a way of life. Spirituality was a way of life. It was the way they communicated trouble. It was a way that they got their households taken care of. This was a big, has always been a big part of who we are. So, you know, so when I say we've been around these houses, we are very well affiliated, great reputation of doing good work, especially dealing with evil and dealing with spirits. And so this is what we do. This is what we do. And it always makes everyone feel more comfortable and more confident when they know kind of what to expect, okay? And so I do. I've done etiquette classes before, and we sit there and we sit and talk about etiquette and say, hey, look, this is proper. This is not. We're going to do this. We're not going to do that. So, you know, don't hesitate to ask a question because I promise you, you'll feel better on the back end. So this is all we're going to do. Ask questions. You press 1. It lets me know you'd like to speak. Okay? So first caller, I have a caller. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. It's Melissa. How are you?
Oh, I am so well. How you doing?
I am good, smiling all big. I got a question. And the reason why I have a question is because I keep hearing from my fellow angels that I ask questions to. They keep saying the word, don't compare yourself to me. And I'm trying to tell you, I don't have the third, fourth, second, none of those generations in this type of walk, okay? All
right.
I have are my friends who, you know, I admire over the years, who now have become, you know, angels. That's all I have. I mean, I'm just letting everybody understand that. So there have been different attributes that I have asked questions to for certain folks to let them know that I am feeling my growth. I'm not, you know, I'm not grown, but I'm feeling my growth.
Right.
And there's certain things that they have shown, said, used as an example, whatever, that gets me to say, yep, I can do more. So I want my angels to know I'm not, I do compare myself to what they do because it helps me stay on a good path, but I'm not comparing myself to them in a way that's like, oh, I'll never, you know, be on that level. It's not like that, but for me, it's a guide. But I know that comparison can be a nasty word, especially when it comes to spirituality, because it's so vast and there's so many different ways of doing things. So can you just give, you know, some healthy and, you know, pros and cons on using comparison? Because I don't feel like I'm using it in a negative way, and I don't want my sisters to feel like, you know, I'm not, that I'm doing it in a you know, using it, getting negative energy from it. Because it's for me, it's a positive way for me to check myself, especially when I don't have, like, folks to just talk about. You know, I could talk this and talk that. But I could say, you know what, I saw this. I remember this conversation from that, and I can compare my notes to that. Like, I hope that makes sense. You know, I'll be all over the place.
I got you. I absolutely got you. You ready?
Oh, I'm listening.
Okay. All right, so let me tell you about, and this is a great question, especially coming from someone who may have had a traditional Christian background. So in the church, everyone comes in and they sit down. And there is, there's the pastor, then there's his committee, the deacons, the deaconess, and everything like that. But, you know, out in the church, traditionally, 90% of the people that come in are, they are more, I want to say, watching the pastor. They are sitting in the pews, and they're all having the same. They're all on one level, okay? So sitting in the pew, even though we're different people and we're going to be receiving the word differently, the 90% of the people that go into the church are there to listen to the pastor and receive the word. And so there's not a whole lot of differences between you. You know what I'm saying? And so when the pastor says, turn to your neighbor and tell him, God's going to deliver you. We all turn and we're sharing in this fellowship moment. But really, there's an idea that we're all the same. We're all in this together. We're all receiving at this one time, right? And spirituality is almost exactly the opposite. In spirituality, there are very few people doing the same thing. There's many different aspects. So, you know, spirituality, I would compare it more to, like, the body. The body has a head, but it has a neck. It got the right arm. It got the left arm. It got and no one piece of your body takes up more than, what, 25%? You know, and so every piece is integral in its own little portion that they do. So we're not all right arms. one, mm-hmm. some of us are right arm, some of us are left arm, some of us are legs, some toes. We need all of these aspects. Just like I started off, I said we're a spiritual household dealing with spirit. Then there are Orisha households. There are Ifa households. So in spirituality, there's not a almost a cookie-cutter type idea where every person that comes in is going to sit in a pew. Now, whether you sit in the front pew or the back pew, that depends on you, but you're going to sit on a pew. And spirituality is almost opposite. No one is exactly the same. So no one's going to have exactly the same tools, and you definitely won't have them for the same reason. You know what I'm saying? And so if you're in a good spiritual house, they're going to look at you as an individual, and they're going to look into your spirit, and they're going to look into your ancestors, and they're going to say, okay, your spirit needs more of this, and your ancestors, they need that. And there is going to be very, very individual. So this is why looking at your fellow sisters and brothers is good for some things. It's good to say, okay, this is what I got coming up. Awesome. Or this is a part of our spirit. This is a part of our house. This is a part of our spirituality. Awesome. And, but it's not good to think that necessarily all of that applies to you. All of us are different, you know. And so when you begin to embrace your uniqueness and when you start to really have that personal relationship with God and that personal relationship with your ancestors, then you're going to start to see, like, okay, I understand why I am part of the moon children. You know what I'm saying? I'm part of these children here that have to have that relationship with the moon. And, of course, everyone knows if you have a relationship with the moon, you then, of course, have a relationship with the sun because reflecting the sun is a big part of what the moon does for us, you know? And so, but you'll understand that science more. You know, that's like saying, you know, I'm a fire sign, you're a water sign. On one hand, we can compare ourselves that we are elemental individuals and we have understanding and respect for how big and how grand these elements are and their roles in our life. But to say that one is superior to the other, you would be sadly mistaken. To say that, you know, I have to embrace this fiery side and deny your water side, you would be, you know, you would feel fizzled out very quickly because you're like, this fire stuff is just too hot, it's too hot. And so that's why that's how the comparisons are good, and that's how the comparisons can also leave you kind of flat because it's like you have to begin to understand that you have your own very special destiny, and your destiny is unique to you. And your destiny is going to feed you what your body needs. And you can't pull on what someone else is eating because what their destiny is feeding them comes from their lineage and what they need going on, okay? Mm-hmm. So did that answer the question?
It does. But like I said to my angels out there, when I'm saying certain things and I'm using you as an example to show my growth, I'm just showing my growth, not necessarily thinking I got to color the dots the exact same way you color your dots. So just want to get that out.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, my dear.
Absolutely. I'll see you this weekend.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm so looking forward to it. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, if you haven't had the opportunity to be around multiple different houses, you really don't know what to expect. You don't know that everyone may be different and have different gifts. You know, I have two sons. They grew up in the same household. Again, very different children, different destinies, different everything. You know, Solomon, my oldest, I spent a lot of time teaching him Christian prayers because his family and his lineage is Christian mixed with a little bit of Creole, right? But Talib's people, you know, Talib's, all of his are mainly in Arabic because that is the understanding that he's going to need to have in his life. Now, he may go on to be a priest of whoever, but he will have to understand his base language of Islam. This is base for him. So even though, like I said, two of my children, same household, same everything, but they need different things in their life, because even though half of them is me and my ancestors, the other half is each one of their different ancestry. And even if they were twins, God still had two different destinies planned for them. And so they each have to learn the tools that are needed to fulfill their individual destinies, okay? So that's why, of course, I have to look at them, even though they are both my sons. I want them both to have some basic understanding and some basic knowledge. I still do have to really give them individual care, individual information, individual everything, so that they can move and they can be strong in the work that they have already agreed to do before they came down the chute. Okay? So, yeah, it can be confusing looking at other people. You know, I talk to, you all know I talk about my sister all the time. And I always say, man, if she tripped, it'd be over a bag of gold. You know, this child has no issues, no qualms, no nothing. And even the mistakes she makes look good, you know. And that's just her. Lord knows, I would be depressed and in a hole if I sat and spent all my time wondering how she get this and I didn't, and why now and why this. And God keeps my plate kind of full. And so I don't even get an opportunity to spend too much time focused on other people's plate. And so, you know, we have to make sure we're focusing on our own. And then also when it comes to looking at others, we have to be careful because we're human. And so we never know when that little nasty envy is going to pop up. We never know when we may have a little spat of jealousy our own selves. And so that's another reason why I try to stay focused on my lane. I remember working with a troubled woman, Lord have mercy, years ago. And I work with a number of people. And some people are, some people need a little bit of help. Some people need a lot of help. And I remember working with this lady, and she would always ask me, well, why is God blessing them like that? They're not good people. They're not this. They're not that. Why? I said, well, hold up for a second. Number one, we're not going to ask God that question, okay? We're just not, all right? Because we don't know enough about this situation, about this woman, about this man. We don't know enough to sit here and question whether they should be blessed or not, okay? So this is why I say don't question what other people have going on, all right? Number one. Number two, what you're sitting back thinking is a blessing really may be a burden. So you're like, man, you know, they're sitting there with $100,000 in their pocket. Okay, but you don't know that's money from a loan shark. That's not blessed money. That's money he's going to end up paying for the harder way. You know what I'm saying? So really, it's not a blessing. But because your eyes are limited, all of our eyes are limited, we can't even see that far. We up here thinking that God's just la-di-da-di blessing them, okay? That's not our question. And I'm going to tell you this, you know, for those that have this problem, for those people that look at other people's plates, and I have a funny story about that, but for those people that do that, you know, I'm trying to tell you it's not the best thing to do. God is not pleased with that. And it makes you look ungrateful when you do that. I'll never forget my mother had a friend who was looking at Solomon's food. Solomon was a little boy, about five. And he just swore that that five-year-old's pancakes were more buttery than his. And I swear I laughed. I'm like, wait a minute, are you looking at the five-year-old's buttery pancakes? And you mad because your buttery pancakes don't look like his buttery pancakes? you got to be joking me. But he wasn't. He was dead serious. And I will never forget that, you know. The grass is always going to look greener on the other side. You know, you'll always have this question and that question about yourself, you know. So it just doesn't even pay for that. And that sister who always asked the question, oh, why God blessing them? She was never, ever happy. She never, you know, I would spend hours. I'm like, but sister, don't you see how God blessed you with this? Yeah, but don't you see how God delivered you from that? Yeah, but, I mean, she was really one of the luckier people I know in my life, and I don't believe in luck. And she had all these blessings around her, lump sums of money falling into her lap, this, that, and the other. But she never saw her own blessings. She never saw how God be looking out for her, because she really spent a lot of time looking at how God be blessing other people. I always thought that was really, really interesting. And it showed me a lot about trying to understand God. You know, that is a journey right there, trying to understand God. If we could do that, I swear, this talk show, this program would be all of 2 minutes. We'll spend all this time trying to understand God and not quite understanding what, where, how, okay? Rather than to frustrate yourself, simplify it, you know. Now, you can get deep with it. You know, there's a science to God. There's a whole esoteric understanding going on. You can do it. But really, when it comes to God, especially if you're just starting, I mean just starting like under 5 years, really studying yourself and studying spirituality, if you are less than 5 years in, keep it simple, okay? Get to the point where you can pray. Now, this is a lot. Listen. Where you can pray, meditate, study for 30 minutes a week. Keep up with your ancestor shrine, your gratitude journal, your dream journal, and work on your readings every quarter, okay? If you can do that, you are ready for the next hunk of information. But I promise you, until you have learned to master that right there, you run a risk of overloading yourself. Because the second you get busy at work, you can't stop your prayers. You can't let go of the prayers. Work need to wait. The second that, you know, your relationship, your movie date has moved to a couple of vacays together, or moved to, you know, spending time on a regular, moving to engagement. Okay, that's wonderful. You can't stop the prayers. You know, brand new baby in the house, Lord have mercy. I've done it. I know what it's like. But in those times, in those moments, you got to pray double time. It's not time to let go of your prayers. So you have got to get to the point where your prayers have priority in your life. Speaking to God and having that relationship with God has got to have a priority in your life. You know that you have got to do this no matter what. The work got to get done. The ones that God has given to you to help, to heal, to share, to laugh with, no matter what your job is, it needs to get done. And you can say to me, and you can, Mama Seven, I'm too busy with this. Mama Seven, I'm always doing that. Mama Seven, I can't get here. I can't get there. Guess what? Yes, there's opposition. Because if opposition can stop you, that's one less prayer going out. Prayer does things. Prayer shifts, makes shifts in the atmosphere. I know my Christians know what I'm talking about. When prayer is said out loud, there is a power. there is a source that is connected within you, that when you make prayers out of your mouth, it connects with the prayers of the others, and it travels up to the Most High, and it makes a boom. And that boom clears away negativity. It can clear away negativity in your body, in your house, in your relationship with your children, in your job. Prayer does all of that. But you got to make it. You got to learn it. You have to develop a relationship with prayer. Imagine if you had a magic key around your neck, just a magic key. And this magic key you knew had power. The magic key unlocked doors that other people couldn't get into. The magic key, just when people see it, it pushes them, and it makes them realize, hey, I got something going on. It gives them power. What if you had this magic key around your throat? We do. It's called your voice. It's at your throat. It opens doors. It makes magic happen. It connects you to the Most High source. Are you serious? And you question this? We've got to get back into this understanding, okay, family? And so that is a big part of where we are and what we're doing. I don't want to move too far away from where we are. We are answering questions. We got spiritual do's and spiritual don'ts. And I want to be able to go through a couple of them so that we can share practices, we can share things that we found to be helpful, things that we found to be not so helpful, okay? That's what this is about. We're just opening up the phone lines. If you'd like to join us, all you have to do is press 1. That lets us know, hey, I want to share some words. Even if you want to share, say, hey, I'm a first-time caller. All of that is fantastic. But I want to make sure that we're having this conversation. You know, I always have agendas. I try to plan things, blah, blah, blah. Every now and again, though, you got to have to sit back and say, okay, how can I just open this up? How can I make sure I'm doing the things that people need to do and want to hear? And so spiritual do's and don'ts. All right. While I'm waiting for anyone to press 1, there's something I wanted to share. People, and this is something I'm kind of, I guess, I don't want to say I'm sensitive about it, but I guess I am. I am always protective of people. You know, I don't want people to get in trouble. I don't want people to have a hard time with this, that, or the other. And there are so many people that are wanting answers. They kind of want the quick fix. They want to know, how can I just, you know, I just want this problem to go away or whatever. And so they're turning to, I want to say internet spirituality. I hate it. I'm sorry. They're turning to the internet. Right? And the internet is good in some ways because it brings us information. We get to look around the world in 10 seconds. It makes everything faster, more accessible, blah, blah, blah. But there are a lot of people online, family, that are, one, not who they say they are. There are people on the internet that are not who they say they are. They have not spent the time studying and making themselves aware and available. There are people that don't have good cleaning processes. Like, I don't read people back to back to back to back. I don't, you know, I have a cleansing and purification process before I start the reading. I have a cleansing and purification process after I do the reading. I I make sure that the person knows how to secure themselves. And I mean, there's just so much. And these, I don't want to call them fly-by-nights. I don't, because it's not that I don't even believe spirit's working through them. Spirit is working through them. But they have not, they themselves have not elevated to a positive point in their life where they can really be of service to someone. Okay? Just because you know something doesn't mean that you are mature enough to handle or equip what's going on. Okay? And so when it comes to these people that are in such a rush to be out there sharing their knowledge and all this other stuff, when it comes to these people, we have a responsibility to spiritually protect ourselves. You know, the proof is in the pudding. You know, how are these people living their life? That's going to answer a lot of questions for us. What things are they, what positive things do they have going on? What feelings do you get from your ancestors about them? Before you get a reading, you should be, you know, making sure that you're ancestors and everyone is on board in agreement and okay with you getting this reading, you know. So, family, friends and family, we have to be very careful about who we open our spirit up to, okay? All of these wonderful people from the motherland who claim they carry big, heavy titles of Babalawo. All Babalawos are not good. And to be a Babalawo takes 7 years of study, okay? That means they're initiated. They are AWO, A-W-O, for 7 years. And then they study. And then they become a Babalawo. Seven. So you can't be 25 and be a Babalawo. You know, it's a Babalawo is a title. It's a understanding of years and years of study and dedication to the science of spirituality. So young Babalawos are a whole lot rarer than Facebook would have you believe it. I'm sorry. It just is, okay? It just is. So knowing this, don't jump up and down to run to people who you don't know and you don't have a relationship with and no one has educated you on the relationship. Don't, let's not be running to throw our money at these people, okay? You should not, if you're not doing any work, then I question the spiritual tool, okay? You should be doing work. You know, small example, for those that were fortunate, I mean blessed, to get their elekes this March, those elekes came with a price. Yes, a financial price, but they also came with 2 months of study. 2 months. 2 months every Monday. Everybody had to put their life on hold. And then I had some people that were in class on Monday from 8 to 9, and then from 9 to 10, okay? That's not cheap. That's not lax. That's dedication. That's hard work, all right? Then, after you pay for the elekes, then you had to travel down to Tampa, stay in Tampa, get the work done. It's a lot. It was a lot. It was a big financial sacrifice. It was a time sacrifice. It was learning. We had people that weren't getting their elekes in the class to help teach the class. I mean, it is a huge endeavor. And, I mean, to the point where the EI is like, okay, look, I got to cap you. I got to cap you, Mama 7, because you come and you want to wear people out all weekend, okay? But that lets you know the kind of work that's done. If you just show up and you just pay money and just show up, I question it. And you should too. You're not getting everything that you should get. And I'm just talking about getting things that you should get. Don't have your ancestors, man. You know, I tell people one of the reasons why I am so blessed and so I've had so many blessings occur in my life and in those around me is because ancestors be loving me. They love me because they know I'm respectful. They know I'm not going to cheat their child. They know I'm not going to lie to their child. They know that they can trust me to provide the best care for this child. So this is why I have the relationship with Spirit, and Spirit is good with having a relationship with me. But that comes from respect in the work. So spiritual don't. Don't be jumping up and down giving these spiritual internet people your money, your time, your energy, your everything like that. You should be working with someone that someone knows. There should be someone that has laid eyes on this someone, okay? You know what I'm saying? So don't let this just be, you know, something casual. Know this person. Know their character. And it doesn't hurt to spend some time. I mean, and when I say know the character, I'm not saying go through their Facebook page, okay? That's not knowing someone. I'm talking about know them, okay? Ask some real questions. Let's find out who you are at the core. Let me look at you. Ooh, and I got one for you. Let me look at your kids. Because what your kids do, that's what you do. Kids will tell on you. Ooh, kids will tell on you in 2 minutes. So these are the things that we got to pay attention to, all right? So that's part of the spiritual do's and spiritual don'ts. This is not a one-sided conversation, family. You may press one. You may share in your experience, whether you are new or whether you are just – whether you're new or whether you are a seasoned vet. What are some spiritual do's and don'ts, okay? We spoke about what it looks like to compare and why we have to be so cautious with that. We spoke about the don't be jumping up and down on these internet people. Let these internet people be just that, internet people. Wave to them online. That's it. Okay? Some spiritual do's. We spoke about the commitment it takes. Do make your prayers. Do take your spiritual bath. Do develop your own relationship with your ancestors. Emergency, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Let's get that done. Okay? So those are some things that we need to be focused on, do's and don'ts. Okay? Don't jump up and down trying everything that you read. Okay? I hate to be like that. I hate to be like that. Everyone loves these little baby witches. You know, all you little baby witches, don't do that. Don't do that. A lot of times when it comes to, like, spells and things like that, what you don't say is just as much troublesome as what you do say. Okay? Don't play around with this stuff. Don't play around with making contact with energies and entities that may not have your best interest at heart. Do not do that. Well, I'm going to be summoning what? You going to take the pot? You going to take the top off and not know how to put the top back on? Don't do that, baby. Don't do that. Okay? So if I you know, some more don'ts. Don't try to summon anything. Do not think that you're young. And when I say young, you know, an average human, how old do we live now? Average. I think what we average, what, 80, maybe 90?
maybe 80. Okay. There are beings that have been around 500, 600, 700 years. What do you think that you could have possibly learned in your 30, 40 years of living on this planet that would slightly compare to a being that has been here for hundreds of years? And you're going to talk to them. Yeah, I wouldn't bet on that. I wouldn't bet on that. So, you know, all my baby witches and all my baby spiritualists and, you know, all my young booties, okay, please don't do that. Don't think about summoning, contacting, but don't do that. Honestly, for someone who astro travels, someone who has a lot of contact with spirit, spirit will come to talk to you. You don't have to go talk to them. They will literally come to you. But it takes time. It takes years to get it good and so that you're protected. Don't wake up and try to do this tomorrow. Okay? I'm telling you, it's not the move. A caller that would like to speak, I'd love to hear from callers. And we're just having one of those nights, ask questions, build, you know, grow. Ask the questions that you wish someone had answered for you 100 years ago. But let's spend some time talking about these spiritual do's and don'ts, okay? All right. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Peace. Alafia. How are you?
Alafia, my dear. Oh, good, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is Sister Unique. Woo! It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. We have survived.
I know.
Yes, ma'am.
We have survived. Yes. Oh,
yes.
Wow. So this is a great topic. It's interesting because I wish I had this platform when I first started studying, dealing with my spirituality. So mm-hmm. I would say one of the things that I would encourage people is not to but I would encourage you not to mix different types of information and try to come up with something to justify not being disciplined. And in saying that, because in spirituality, there's a form of discipline. So people leave religion because they think in spirituality that, oh, well, because there's no tradition that you're following, that there's no discipline in it. Well, it's the total opposite. It's actually more discipline in being spiritual than it is just in a religion. Because when you're dealing with a formal religion, you're actually dealing with somebody writing everything down for you, giving you these rituals so you can relate, and all, you're memorizing and you're performing them over and over again. Well, the spiritual part of that is that now since you've done that, now I need you to tap into your own energy and use your own energy and allow this energy to come to different energies to come to you and use that. A lot of people don't know how to use that because then I'm a Buddhist and then I'm a Muslim and then I'm dealing with Ifa, but at the same time I'm dealing with Mambuata, then I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with, oh, wait a minute. You know, all of these things come from one source, but it's just like saying, you know, you got all these different rivers, they go to the ocean, but each river does something for a different part of that country or that town or that area, you know, and it flows in that direction for a reason. So it first have a clear direction of what you want, you know. Second of all, don't think that you're not going to have discipline because there is discipline. And in dealing with spirituality, you have to know that you have to discipline your mind, your body, your language. You know, your spirit. Yes. There's a lot of things that comes along with that. Yeah, you can memorize and you can do all these other different things. You can have all these chants. But I know for myself, there are things that I have to get on the floor to do. And I'm like, dang, okay, maybe I should have stuck with the yoga. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I still got a squat. Yes. And I need you to throw while you down. Wait a minute. You know. Yeah. And
hold on.
Give me a moment. I need a chair. You know.
Yeah.
But you know. But then once you realize that in order to do certain things, you have to connect to certain energies. You know. You have to realize that you have to discipline yourself to do these things. Don't try to mix a whole lot of things. Don't, like you said, don't become overexcited. Don't try to find the easy way. And that's where the whole internet thing comes in at. Because people come, man, do you know how many DMs I get from Babalows, you know, or so-called Babalows, that was like, oh, well, you know, it came across my spirit that your ancestors said, hey, wait a minute. Same thing they're doing, the same thing that happened when I used to go to church. Well, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you, oh, really? Well, I got ears too. So, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me. You know, well, then, I mean, that's not to say people don't have discernment. That doesn't mean that people can't hear things. But when even in your readings, they shouldn't be a tell-all, like there's something that's just spookism and, oh, my God, I didn't know that was happening. It should be more of a confirmation, especially if you're really dealing with yourself. Because a lot of times you know it, but then it came to you like, oh, okay. You know, okay, so that's what that is. And then it, and it really just nudges you. It's like when you first start driving and your parent or the driver teacher's on the other side and you start bearing off to the edge, they're just not going to grab the wheel, but they might help you ease it over. Hold on, let me do this for you real quick. You know, that's what it should be. It should just be an ease, like, okay, I know where I'm going. I know I have this, but this is just going to give me just a little bit more confidence in me knowing that, okay, I am on the right path and I can do this, you know. And it's always good to have a guide. You cannot tell me that you're getting ready to say that a 12-year-old can go to, not saying it's not, it can't happen. You know, but it's not often a 12-year-old can go teach a class in college, you know, and you haven't even studied anything. So if I've had this information and if I've had this experience and if I've done this study and you're trying to tell me, well, you don't have to do that because you can go to the internet and somebody's just going to tell you something and you're just going to do it, you're going to mess yourself up because there's You're going to mess yourself, and there are people who purposely put the information out there, but they don't put everything. You have to understand that a lot of this information first was oral. It's an oral tradition. Second of all, they don't tell you everything because they don't want you. I can try to make my grandma's chicken.
I don't want to blow yourself up.
I can try to make my grandma's chicken, but it's some. I don't know if she really put her fingernails in that bad boy or what. You put your feet in it.
Figure of speech.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a figure of speech, but there's something missing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's not enough salt. You know what I'm saying? I'll never forget. A friend of mine, he used to make these damn salmon patties. These salmon patties were the bomb. I swear I tried to make these salmon patties. And I would watch him, but then something would happen, and I walk away, and I come back. I'm like, well, damn, I'm watching. Turns out the special ingredient was mustard. Who knew?
All right.
Mustard. You telling me that these daggone salmon patties taste good because of mustard? I'm online Googling, trying to figure this out, like looking in the cabinet, thinking this, that, you know. But if I would have stayed there and if I would have watched him, you know, because he was willing to give me the information, but was I really willing to put forth the effort? Was I really willing to do the work?
Saying some words.
Was I willing to open up the can? Was I really able to, willing to sit down and pick out the bones?
Yeah.
Was I going to get my hands dirty and munch that stuff up?
Yeah.
Was I really going to pay attention? Was I going to, you know, and because along with this comes work. That's why you have, I was listening to this brother say something that, you know, he made a comment about being being a client, being being a client, being an apprentice, and being an Orisha. You know, and how humans, you know, could fall into those three categories. However, based on what you're willing to do, And the work that you're willing to put in depends on which level you're going to be.
Absolutely.
Because everybody, I want to be Oshun. Do you really? You know what I'm saying? Because there are apothecaries where she was crying and she was poor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I want the power of Shango. Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, if you read the apothecaries, he went to war.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was in prison and they took his power.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There were things that happened. So we have to realize that there's a things that we want and it looks good. And even in looking at other people, you might see what they're doing, but there's work that goes into it. And I saw this meme that said, the best thing I could have ever did for myself was focus on me. That's the best thing, not only I could have done for myself, but I could do for anybody else. It's focus on yourself, you know, because once you focus on yourself, once you put in the work, once you are disciplined, once you are obedient and trust yourself, trust the God within yourself. Stop looking outside of yourself for the answer. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's biblical. Hello. We try to make it more than what it is. You know, we have to realize we got to have a lot of slave mentality, and we're bringing that same slave mentality into spirituality. And you can't train a spirit.
It doesn't work.
And it doesn't work.
It really doesn't work. It doesn't work. It does not work.
It doesn't.
Oh, my dear sister, you said the word. No, I appreciate it. Because it gives us more to work on. I appreciate it. So, absolutely.
And I'm still in training.
Look, I'm still in training. Hello?
Yes.
I'm going to be in training until I'm not anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be the day y'all be singing the sad songs, you know. But I'm in training. I'm always going to be in training. And some of the things that you said, you said two things I got to talk about. One thing, you talked about, you said everything but the A word. And I was like, she wants to say it. You talked about having the knowledge, knowing the knowledge. And my thing is you got to apply it. If you are not applying it, if you are not living by your word, then you need to stop talking. You have to live by what the word. It don't make sense to speak it. That's what you call a hypocrite. And that is not one of God's favorite things, okay? So we have to be able to apply the knowledge that we have. You know, we have to have the action to it, you know. And then, of course, we have to be patient with our understanding of God. We can't be sitting here, you know, thinking. Mm-hmm. I had this one sister, an older sister. She had been dealing with her. She started dealing with her ancestors. She was about 50. And after 6 months, she called me, fussing with me. I ain't heard nothing, blah, blah, blah. It's been 6 months. I said, wow, your ancestors have been waiting 50 years for you. And I'm sure every day they said, wow, we ain't heard nothing. Where she at? I know she sees me and hear me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were patient. They waited 50 years. You can't wait to see.
You can't wait.
Stop
to see. And then on top of that, you know, do you really want to hear them? Come on.
Look, that's
do you really
question.
Want to see them?
But
do you really want to see them?
To me, the arrogance in that, you know, that they would be so patient to wait for you to get your life together. And then after 6 short months, you're upset because it hasn't happened the way that it showed in the movie.
You wanted to, yes.
The way you saw it in the movie said that my door was going to rattle, and then this and then this. And so it didn't happen like that, so they must not be listening.
Doors to be rattling.
And your ancestors be like, look, I'm African. I could be rattling no damn door. I'm not, you know, and then when they blow it off the hinge, then what? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like we have got to really get, we have to be patient. We have to kind of start to see our own selves. Look, I know I haven't been here, ancestors. I know I'm new to this, you know, but, but just hear me. Just feel me. Be patient with me. And as you asking them to be patient with you,
You turn around and be patient, and they'll get to you when they get to you. But you just focusing on them and giving them that attention, that's what's needed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, oh, my God, so funny. But we can't forget about the A. You got to apply it,
apply it.
We know.
Apply it.
Oh, you have to apply it. My dear sister, thank you so much. I'm so looking forward to seeing you this weekend. I can't wait to see all my angels out there. I cannot wait to be in the presence of, you know, all these virtual hugs are wonderful, but I need a real hug, you know. I need to wrap my hands around some people and everything and just be in the presence of, you know. I always miss everyone. And then when we get together, it's always a shower of love. So I'm looking forward to wrap my hands around you.
All right.
Well,
all right.
We'll talk more soon. All right. You
all righty.
Too. Peace. Woo-wee. How about that study stuff? I tried to tell you. I tried to told you. We got to study. We have to get mature in our spirituality, okay? I got another caller that I really want to get to. But I know we got some knowledge dropping. Okay, for all my new people, I got some new numbers here. I'm so excited. But for all my new people, I am on 7. But this is a wonderful approach. You see what I'm saying? All this knowledge that's being dropped, all the great questions coming forward, this is wonderful. This is how we get information going. So, and this is what makes it so wonderful and so beautiful and why everyone comes together, sacrifices their time because, honey, this is dinner time for us fasting people. So we got to hurry up and get our stuff in, but we sacrifice that time because we want to come together. And so right now, we're going to help some people with some basics, spiritual do's and don'ts. So, caller, let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
And greetings, Mama Seven. This is Sister Faith. Hello, Collective.
Greetings. Greetings, my twin. Greetings. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. I hope you are as well.
Yes,
it's hard to follow behind Mama Unique. You know, it's hard to come behind her because she done took half of my little speech and then already shared it with the pupils, you know. But bless her soul because that's my sister and she shares it with me so funny. So I get it.
Right.
Some of the don'ts is don't get caught up in the shock and awe. You know, it's easily sold in spirituality that, look at that. Look at that. Listen, Linda.
Linda.
We can't get caught there. We have to acknowledge it and be willing and ready to grow and move on. We have to be able to see it for what it is. It's not shocking all. This is not a magic show. This is not, you know, this is the hot thing this week. This spiritual walk is real, and I promise you, each step that you take, and don't skip steps because you're going to be sent back to the beginning of the line. So
Lord
you can get those
have mercy.
Two emails.
Yeah.
Have to go back to get two that you missed. And so, you know, it's important that you make sure that you don't skip the steps. It's important that you don't get caught up in the shock and awe. It's important that you don't lose sight of who you are really chasing, because when we start chasing people and not God, then we're going to get lost in the storm. You'll be out floating in the water in left field by yourself because you was trying to impress a person. We're not here to impress no people. We're here to impress God. We're trying to get God's attention and make sure that we are connecting through our ancestors to reach God. You know, it's so easy to get lost there. You see it in the church. The pastor. The pastor don't have no heaven or hell to put you in. And neither does any spiritual that you meet. No heaven, no hell to put you in. So be mindful that your eye is really on God and not anything else. If this is about your heart work, your spirit work, your soul salvation, then you want to connect to the ultimate source. And any spiritualist, I promise you, I agree with what I'm saying. Please do not go and find somebody on the internet that is telling you that they are going to do a spell for you, and you have never listened. You a foolish person if you fall for it. It's foolish.
Yep.
This is an old tradition, and there are scammers in every area of spirituality, and you have to be able to discern the difference. A person who walks upright, a person who is honest, a person who is willing to do this work with you is the type of person you want to be with. You do not want to be with someone you've never laid eyes on and you are receiving so-called protection pieces from them. No, have mercy.
Yep.
All right. Don't get me started. Right. But that's what I wanted to say. That's all I had was don't get caught up in the shock and awe. Don't get caught up in trying to please or impress a person. Don't get caught up in yourself. You better be keeping your eyes on the prize, which is the Most High. Amen.
Wow. Amen. Lord have mercy. She said, don't even get caught up in your own self. Boy, don't we do it? Ooh, we will get caught up in our own self. Ooh, oh, I know this, and I know that. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to do a live on that. And I'm doing up in here like, oh, my God. Your words have not gone past your throat. You have not absorbed that lesson. You haven't really, really trusted in it. You know, you haven't really shown God that you live that. How in the world are you going to go and talk about it? And you ain't lived it yet. It's not a part of you. When you live, see, and Sister Faith always gets me revved up. When you live this life, it is not like a coat that you take on and off. It is a piece of you that you will not ever remove. My spirituality is 24/7. Trust me, I know the spirits wake me up talking to me. It's not a convenient thing. It's not when it's fun thing. It is all the time, okay? And this is something that when she was speaking, this proverb came up, Proverbs 3.5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this was something that came up particularly around my oldest child as he was moving into manhood. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Okay? Now, and I remember when this came up, when this prayer came up in my life, I mean, it was at a point where God had blinded me. God had silenced me. God had took away, I had no ears, and spiritually, my ears are probably my strongest sense, my strongest spiritual tool, okay? So when I can't hear, that life ain't good. And so spirit had me in a way where there was nothing, and I had to walk. So, okay, if you can't see, hear, taste, feel, if you can't do anything, what are you going to do? Most people are going to freeze, because that's what I wanted to do. Let me be still. Yeah, I was like, well, see, Lord God, I'm just going to sit here and be still. And God's like, no, you still have to move, and you still have to do what I say. Be not wise in your own eyes. I'm like, okay, but if I don't have my eyes, how am I going to see? And he's like, your eyes are not trustworthy to see with anyway, daughter. Think you seeing, you not seeing, daughter. I need you to be able just to walk by listening to my voice. Just come to me. Don't worry about your eyes. And I had to learn how to do that. And it was so difficult. Even right now, if your house was sparkling clean and you've gotten up and gone to your bathroom 1,000 times and it's pitch black at night, aren't you still looking? Aren't your eyes still open? Aren't you still kind of searching, fumbling for the light switch? Because when you can see with your eyes, it's a comfort there. Even if all you're seeing is darkness, you still have your eyes open. You want to see.
what happens when God says be not wise in your own eyes? And then the last part of this, I'm telling you, this prayer right here, see, I've had prayers kidnap me. I've had prayers take me on journeys. Like, I need you to really not just hear me, but experience me. A refreshment to your bones. Do you know how hard it is to refresh your bones? You know, if you've ever heard an old person say their bones was tired, do you know how hard it is to refresh a bone? Okay? That is the very core of you. We have a skeleton inside of us. And after we've worked and toiled and gone through trials and tribulations, as we age, as we build, as we do whatever, our bones get tired. And God's word is healing to our flesh and refreshment to our bones. You can't refresh your own bones. This life doesn't do that. Only God does that. You see what I'm saying? So as Sister Faith was talking, God was like, ooh, do you remember that time? I said, yes, Lord. Yes, I remember. And it took me a time or two to really begin to understand that God is trustworthy. I can trust him. I don't need my eyes. And then at that point, from that point on, I'm not worried about what my eyes are showing me. I'm worried about what God is telling me. And that path could look straight and smooth and easy. And I will look to God. God, go down this path? Yes, dear. Okay, thank you. And then I'm going to go. Just because it looks smooth and easy don't mean I'm going to go. And don't mean that it's made smooth and easy for me. So spiritual do's and don'ts. Lord, this is a great show. I hope everybody really got something from it, took notes, go back and listen to it later, however you want to work it. But, you know, it was really good to talk about these do's and don'ts, okay? Because sometimes we can get lost in all of the information that's on the internet. And there's so many different things. And honestly, you know, I thought that would be funny, but some of it does look cool. You know what I'm saying? I have some great pictures. I'm like, wow, how they do all this, how they do all that. But I know the more I work with me, the more I work on my relationship with God and my relationship with my ancestors, and this is something I've been working on forever. I have a lifetime of work, and I'm still working on it. So keep your head up. Keep trying. But get you a reputable teacher, you know? Get you some reputable information. How do you know it's reputable? Because someone else, you can look into their life and see the benefit from it, okay? You look at their life and be like, wow, you're really doing something. You're really shining and you're glowing. What are you doing? Ah, this is what I'm doing. This is bringing about the shine. This is moving the dust off of me, okay? So we're moving into the prayer portion, and the prayer portion is so, so important, and I'm going to be spending all night with Proverbs 3.5. I already know. It's already sitting there. I can't help it. This prayer is, you know, is like something just sent electricity through me. I just love it. So that's what I'll be doing this evening. No surprise there. But, you know, we're going to end with a prayer. Before we get into the prayer, I want to say from our prayer warriors out there, the Jenkins family needs the prayers, okay? Prayers for healing. Prayers for love, prayers of forgiveness, prayers, period. All of our families need it, but this family in particular is hurting in a deep way. And so, you know, let's keep together, keep them elevated, keep them in our minds, in our hearts, you know, share an extra word. Let's make plans to really wrap our love around this family. And we have a family member in almost every aspect of what we do in that, okay? So, you know, let's keep that close, keep that in our minds, okay? And the prayer, and this is what I call an oldie but goodies, okay? And I'm just going to do the Lord's Prayer, And this prayer has taken me through some really hard times. You know, I have a relationship with prayer. I have a relationship. I remember when this prayer was first introduced to me. I remember, and I know all of the books, the many books. There's books written about this one prayer, okay? I have read many, many, an understanding, interpretation, everything. This, for me, has been one of the most dissected prayers that I have studied. And every time I say it, it brings goosebumps to me. Every time, you know, I speak about it, every time someone speaks to me about it, it brings goosebumps to me, and I just am warmed by the knowledge and the comfort that this prayer brings to me and brings to others, okay? And honestly, tonight, if you know this prayer, and all A Wonderful Approach should know this prayer, if you know this prayer, I would like for you to say it out loud, okay? You know, just kind of say it with me tonight. It's like tonight there's a feeling of a need for some unity and a need for us to be on the same page with God. You know, there's power in those numbers. There's an agreement when we say the prayer together that we are in agreement with God's word and we are ready for God to come and do the word and to fulfill the contract of this prayer. So going into the prayer, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for saying the prayer. Read it tonight. Spend whatever time you need to with it, because it has a meaning that's going to carry us into this weekend and to help us to get through this weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. Amen.